Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Can you imagine? Imagine if microphones are racist and we tried to speak like this and it came out, hello.
Hello.
And welcome to, and welcome why aren't you a doctor? It's a hail. How are you?
I'm very well, sir.
Although thank someone told me that when I get really like angry on this podcast, I do start to sound more Asian.
Brother, why you talk like this? What are you?
Oh my God, no.
Hello and welcome to Why Aren't You a Doctor Yet? The only podcast that uses cutting-edge science to answer the questions that you actually have. Things like, why is the sky blue? What's up with trees? And would Voldemort have achieved immortality if he'd stuck his Horcruxes in the mixtapes that people try to hand you when you're standing outside the O2 in Brixton? It's a question. So guys, what are we want to talk about this week? Is it Black Panther? Please tell me it's Black Panther. I want to see Black Panther.
We can talk about Black Panther, but I will bring Black Panther in a minute. But I just wanted to talk about, have you seen some time ago on social media, there was this photograph that was circulating of a couple and she's black and he's white and they were trying to take a selfie and they just couldn't because either he was completely washed out and she looked great and visible in the picture, or he looked great and visible and she was completely in the shadows because they couldn't get their camera to take a picture, like a selfie of them together.
So you're saying cameras are racist?
Well, cameras have a racist history. They really do.
Is it deliberately racist, or is it just a kind of selective way of doing it because white people originally invented or pioneered this kind of technology?
I think that's
okay. Let's not, we aren't legit saying cameras are racist. Like, we're not saying like if I pick up my Canon 5D,
it's gonna get out. We don't like your kind around these parts.
Oh, you're so well spoken.
Where are you from?
Not being funny yet, but Asian people.
Oh my God.
I did an interview the other day with a person of a certain age from East London. They start a sentence and they'll be like, yeah. Not very funny, yeah, but the blacks. I mean, like, what the fuck? I think shit, you realise, like, you can see my skin, right? Like, just like me inside, sitting there. Yes, tell me more. What do you do in that type of situation?
I like that you're light skin enough that people are like, oh, he's white. I'm going to tell him some racist shit.
That's not even the worst, man. I've got some funny stories.
Let me hear him.
One time we my mate Sadid, right? We were working on this production. It was a Channel 4 documentary and it was about freedom of speech. So we got loads of people to come on, like do voxes. And we were in the studio with Seven Sisters. And I just remember like this one particular guy saying stories of how back in the day when they first used to start letting coloured people play cricket, like with white people, and the tea ladies, they used to make like lunch for everyone, like cakes and biscuits and tea and all that stuff. So when they started mixing, the tea ladies started making everything with bananas. Because they were like, and then they would ask him, he's like, why do you make that banana cake, like bananas, whatever, sundae? And so be like, oh, that we thought black people only eat bananas. They literally said this. And the guy said it, the story, like in front of us, and laughed. And I was like, me and Sid just looked at each other, like two brown people in the room, like, holy shit, did we just like, are we tripping out here? That's funny.
So from semi-racist contributors to Channel 4 programs, to now we have Black Panther.
It's quite a journey.
Yeah. Are cameras racist?
Okay, the cameras are sometimes racist.
Okay,
we
aren't.
Let's go back.
Okay, so we aren't talking like you pick up a camera and you take a picture and it's like, get out of my country. Like, we're talking.
No, but like, but some like digital cameras can be racist because some cameras do have like facial recognition and they have like blink sensitivity. So there was this blogger in America, this American Asian blogger, who actually posted this online, where she showed how her camera kept asking her what, like, if she had blinked in the picture, because like it just couldn't recognize her eyes, and they it just kept thinking she was blinking because she was Asian American.
Trying to do face recognition, trying to work out what, like, what state it is people are in. So are they in the open-eyed state or in the closed-eye state? And because obviously they haven't tested it on as many Asian American like faces.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So like she posted online going, no, I'm just Asian.
So that's the same thing. So is that the same thing as like hand dryers, infrared hand dryers? You know, you put your hand under it.
Yeah, I remember we were talking about
that. Oh, was it hand dryer soap dispenser?
Soap dispenser, that's it. You put your hand under it and then it would dispense soap.
I've seen that go around on Twitter. I'm not really sure what the technology behind it is.
That one is a bit more, is a bit different to face recognition. That one is...
skin tone or something?
It's not skin tone. It's the ability of your thing to absorb infrared, I think.
Oh, okay.
Or reflect like heat and stuff, and so dark skin doesn't do it as much, or something. There are differences there. And but it comes back to the same thing of this should have been quality tested on lots of different end users, i.e. the Browns.
Yeah,
this is interesting because this, like, so I was looking in from a like photography point of view. I was looking into why, like where all this comes from, basically. And if you look at the history of like photography.
So let's go back to the very first film and photography.
Yeah.
So between the two of you, Sahel, you do films, and Oz, you're a fucking nerd.
True that.
You guys should be able to work out what the fuck's happening here. So Oz, what's the timeline of film? And has it always been racist?
Well, if you go really like way back, so go pre-80s, right? So like the early like color photographs where, you know, you used to put that film in the back of the camera, like those ones, the way they work is they have different layers that are sensitive to different parts of the color spectrum. Mm. And then you put in a developer, those chemicals then form this cocktail. And based on how much light and what wavelength those different layers absorbed, it would form this mix of colors. And that's how you get a color photograph, right? But the first color film only had these two, only had two layers, right? And it was only red and green. And because they were developed by mostly like the developers, the people behind the technology, but mostly rich white men, right? They didn't really see that there was, it's not that it was being actively racist, I don't think. Yeah. It was just no one saw the need.
Yeah.
Because it was, the consumers were mostly white people.
Yeah. What year was it?
Oh, this was like 70s, 60s.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Long time ago, Bausch.
I mean, that isn't even that long ago, is it?
It's not. But I think the thing is, right, what happened was people, I mean, obviously like brown people, black people, we all took photographs back then. But if you go back and actually look, so having done this reading, I went back and looked at some photos. So it's very clear when you go back and look at these photos, if there's pictures of like white people and black people, white people and people of different skin tones in one photograph, the white people would look more sharper, right? And so the reason behind this is because they used to calibrate all photos that were developed to a thing called a Shirley card. Yeah, have you guys heard of a Shirley card?
Yeah, it's like a picture of a white lady. Yeah.
Exactly.
Wait, is that the thing?
It's a grey background.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's not the same as the one that's, you know, when on TV they used to have that test card where it was like a young girl with a sock puppet and lots of different colours on the screen.
It's exactly like that. So the original Shirley card is a white woman with brown hair, blue eyes. She's wearing a white dress, pearl necklace. I think she's wearing like black gloves or something. And then there's three cushions of the three primary colours placed around her.
Mm.
And so they would calibrate the picture to look so that she would look the best in the picture.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, so therefore, what they were basically saying, this skin tone in this picture is what would be normal for a photograph, and everything was being calibrated to that. What happened as a result was, if there was a person who was of dark skin in a picture, they would get completely, they would get kind of shadowed out, basically wouldn't see their features as sharply. And so if you go back and look at pictures like in like 70s 80s sort of time, you know, people of color do not you can't see their features as sharply, you know, and it becomes much worse when you put a white person in that picture. There's so many examples of this online. Okay, so this was all pre-70s, right? Mm-hmm. But then in the 70s, the film was actually changed to incorporate the shades, like the colours that would be necessary to bring out the skin tone of darker people. So like the yellowy shades, the darker brown shades, the reddish shades were added in the 70s. But do you know why it was added? Basically, some furniture companies complained to the film manufacturers that they were photographing different types of wooden furniture and all the furniture looked the same dark colour and wasn't coming out well.
Mm. Wow.
Right?
So it's furniture that changed.
Furniture, not people.
And then, wait, after that, chocolate companies start complaining, saying their dark chocolate and milk chocolate photographs look the same. Yeah. Why the hell is this happening?
Yeah. That's so weird.
And they complained to the film company that their film was faulty. Mm. And at that point, they went, oh, hang on. Our film can't handle these shades.
Mm. So, like, just think about that. In the 70s, it's not you as a person. Yeah. No, no, no.
It's weird. Yeah, you're right, because 90% of my stuff is always people of, like, different skin tones. So if everyone just looked the same, it'd be fucking confusing.
But it's also, it's not even that. It's just that it would calibrate, because of the Shirley card, it would calibrate it to whatever, whoever Shirley was. Like, because Shirley is basically based on a model who was in the original picture. Mm. But then the Shirley models have changed through time.
Yeah.
So it would be calibrated to her skin tone, regardless of what your skin tone was.
Do you know what? It's interesting talking about this, because I do a lot of color grading and things like that and picture editing. And to be honest, like, I rarely use a scale. I just do it by eye. So, you know, this is quite interesting conceptually, thinking about this, like using a set skin tone to set other skin tones. For me, it's like what looks good.
But a lot of people also question this, because this propagated, because the Shirley card was propagated, this is normal. Like, you can see old pictures where they circle the word normal around the Shirley card and say, like, okay, this photograph is fine because it's been calibrated to the Shirley card, right? Some people even go as far as questioning, is this why we now lighten people's skin? Like, celebs who have dark skin, they do get their skin lightened on these magazine photo shoots and stuff.
Yeah.
And people question whether this is because it's propagated this notion that this is, like, the normal.
Yeah, so it links into that again, the skin to skin tone debate kind of thing, and whether, you know, why people think it's better to have, well, I'm not saying a lot of people think this, but this is an old way of thinking, wasn't it, that lighter skin is better. It still exists in, like, Asian communities as well. We always talk about being fair skin, don't we?
Sure.
Yeah.
But there is, like, so, like you say, in Asian communities, like, I remember my family sometimes would be like, don't go out in the sun, so if you get darker and it's more, it's unattractive.
Stay inside.
Yeah. But interestingly, so there is this black photographer called Syreeta McFadden, and she talks about her experience as a child when she was growing up, seeing pictures of herself and, like, her, not being able to see her features clearly. She just felt so unattractive, and she said it took a long time for her to, like, learn to, like, love that skin again, because it wasn't her, it was the pictures making her look like her features weren't showing, and so she hated that. And as a photographer, she's, like, gone on this journey of, like, discovering ways to bring dark skin people's, like, tone out and make them look good in photos.
Yeah.
And it's a really great essay that she wrote for BuzzFeed, and I think everyone should read that because it's really powerful.
But yeah, like, talking about pictures and stuff, and, you know, I do photography, professional photography, for money sometimes, not enough.
Suhail is available.
I'm available for all bar mitzvahs and other activities. Anyway, I've done events, and to be honest, like, I found, like, people who love pictures the most, like, are some ethnic communities. So it's weird, like, we love pictures, like, unbelievable. Yeah, like, so... But it's so ubiquitous in the culture, like, I couldn't imagine it being, like, any other way, really. But it's interesting to think, about the history of it, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think, like, historically, pre-70s, like, people who bought cameras and bought film, the argument is that these people were mostly white people.
Yeah.
And that's why the technology was kind of focused on the consumer for the time.
Yeah,
But also you have to think about it from a perspective of, but even though they were the majority of people buying it, the subjects of photography weren't exclusively white. So that's when you start taking photographs of people who aren't white, and they don't show up very well on these pictures. Then you start to see the problem.
Interestingly, in economics there's a term called wealth condensation, which is basically a term which means that technology evolves in a way that benefits wealthy people. So that's exactly what I'd say, is that, you know, ultimately every pound is economic vote.
Right.
And with that money that you spend, it shifts investment into certain type of science, technology. And that's, I think that's a good example of that, actually, that cameras evolved or advanced in a way that, you know, benefited the people who had money, which were, used to be, Western Europeans, right?
No, completely. Fuck, no, that's a really fucking good point. What the fuck?
Alex is genuinely shocked right now.
can we go back? What the fuck? What?
What? The social history? What? I go back to saying dumb things now.
So interestingly, like in the 70s as well, like there was this one of these films.
Alex for 10 years left.
it was like a minute of economics theory.
So I learned some things that you need.
I was like, yo, damn, that's deep. And the idea that, you know, consumer technology is really driven by people with, you know, with buying power, and so when people who didn't previously have buying power now have buying power. But you're going to have that middle ground where, like you were saying, you know, you aren't as well represented and technology isn't for you.
Yeah.
But also, what the fuck? Why would you bring up this?
No, but it's interesting because you look at Black Panther, this example of wealth condensation, and the black markets became lucrative for these filmmakers. And they're like, look, man, there's a big audience here. There's a big, you know, economic opportunity. And then they made this film, and lo and behold, loads of people went and watched. There's a bunch of hype around it, made tons of money. You can see more of this now because it's profitable.
Can I go back to the 70s now?
Yeah,
sorry. Yes,
that's a good point.
So around the 70s, like when these furniture companies started complaining about their furniture not looking good on this film, around the same
time. roughly the same time as civil rights.
The furniture struggle was synonymous with.
We all remember the great Cadbury struggle. Those were some dark days.
You couldn't tell really.
I have a dream that milk chocolate and dark chocolate will be seen as equals. Be seen separately for their features.
On the hills of Northampton. good
so
side.
There was this, one of the new sort of people who joined the tech and research division of, can I say brands on this podcast?
Yes. who's going to come fast soon?
So in the 70s, around the same time where these furniture companies were complaining, like one of the people who joined Kodak's photo and tech division, I recognized that Shirley cards are also a problem. And, you know, he started incorporating models in the Shirley cards that were of different ethnic backgrounds. Not to be politically correct, he just realized that this was a problem, and it was not good for photography as a whole because it was not bringing out the best in people they were photographing.
What a G.
And so then people started incorporating. So Shirley cards started to become multiracial, and in some cases, like some of the Shirley cards that some companies were making, gave them like really stereotypical costumes, which became like, it was slightly like 80s, 90s racism going on there.
Really? Like what?
Like
Will Smith look like and shit.
Let me just see if I can find these pictures, and maybe you guys can tell me what you think.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, so this is one of the first. This is in the 90s. This is one of the first multiracial Shirley cards, right?
So, what are we seeing?
I am seeing. Oh, god damn.
Okay, what I like is that it's multiracial. Three women, and they are all happy, smiling. They're wearing white and black, and yeah, okay, cool. That's not problematic.
So this is the improvement from the original Shirley cards, which were these ones.
Yeah, white models.
Okay. Then
can we go back to the original Shirley cards?
Yeah.
That looks like someone's profile on Trump dating.
What?
I've seen that there. MAGA dating. Yeah, okay.
I love to
Yo!
Shit.
I mean, I'm struggling to describe.
So we've got a white woman in a German outfit,
yeah,
I guess.
That's what I thought.
With a violin, and her hair has like, what, flowers in. Like, she looks like Hitler's, like, yeah. She looks like someone. You know what she does?
She looks like she's wearing cogs or some shit.
Yeah. She looks like if she sees you hit a car and she's calling the police.
Yeah.
Like really quickly.
She looks like a person.
She looks like if I go into my Airbnb, she's going to call the police that I'm robbing the place.
Yeah. I didn't want to say it,
but yeah. Okay. In the middle, we've got, I'm going to say she's Korean or Japanese. She's
East Asian.
She's East Asian. And she's holding a violin. Yeah. Okay, violin again. Cool. Everyone's getting violins. It's great. And she's wearing, I guess, is this a kimono?
It's a kimono.
Okay. That's not stereotypical at all. Yeah. And then we've got the black woman on the right wearing a dashiki with full necklace, a full yellow headband with a fucking double bass. She's not even holding the double bass right.
That's how I dress.
But then also,
Thursday.
Like, what have you got to say about the Latina girl?
Oh, so there's someone on the left. Wait, so what's that?
What's going on?
So can you see what she has in her hair?
It looks like she has lots of fruit in there.
That's a basket of fruit hat.
Yeah. That's convenient though.
Marley racist.
I mean, we're talking about the 90s.
Oh.
So this is what, like, the 90s for?
This is Fresh Prince racism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, so, but anyway, it was an improvement from the original Shirley card, where it was just a white woman, right? So they started incorporating these different ethnic backgrounds into Shirley cards. And the result of all these changes was Kodak then made the Gold Max film, which was a film that had multiple layers that could process many different colours rather than just two colours that they originally put in. And also the adverts, funnily enough, started featuring black families. And the tagline of this advert was, "Show your true colours." Right? And another one was, "Shoot a dark horse in low light."
I saw that picture, I think. I think it's interesting because it's going back to this economic debate. It's like when advertisers were like, oh, you know, we've got a big market here and they needed to directly advertise to BME communities and consumers, that's when they started to really like change their way of marketing to them. And, you know, I think that's a big driver in change. It's like the economics behind, like, the demand behind it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, like, do you think that now that brown people have more money,
basically, yeah,
we're gonna, like, everything's gonna be made for us now?
Well, we factor more into it because you're a more significant part of, you know, and of the consumer base. And you know, I remember the businesses that they're in the business of making money, aren't they? So, you know, I suppose so, and we'll see. It's like the vegan. It's like, yeah, more vegan places now because more people are vegan. There's more business opportunities.
Yeah. But I think, like, so there was, like, in around this time, there is also, like, some evidence that some cameras did change, but not necessarily for a good reason. So there were these two artists. So in 2013, The Guardian ran this article about this art installation.
Porn.
What? When are we going to get to porn?
So these artists, they went to South Africa to, like, use these old cameras to take pictures and stuff. And they found these cameras. It's not porn, I'm sorry.
What?
These cameras, they're called, like, ID2 cameras, I think.
Yeah.
And these cameras have a flash boost.
Is that like IC3 cameras?
I don't know what IC3 cameras are.
It's okay. That's a little police joke for anyone that's been stopped and searched.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, no.
Luckily, I didn't have any muffins on me.
I get stopped at airports all the time. I'm just like, this is the most contact I have, so go at it.
Anyway, back to these IDU cameras.
So these artists, they believe that I don't know how they've calculated this, but they say that the flash boosts by up to 42% roughly, and this is because black skin absorbs 42% of that light, and these very cameras were used in South Africa to make those ID cards, you know, when they made black people carry ID cards.
Oh, shit.
There's no, like, however, this is, like, their take on it. Like, there's no real, like, clear evidence that it was developed for this purpose. It's just, like, these were the cameras that were used.
Yeah.
And it's one of the first, not the first time, but one of the few known opportunities where a camera was used to take a picture of a black person and it be visible for an ID card sort of thing.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And they had to make them visible and, like, able to specifically pick out different black people, so be able to discern lots of features on your ID card.
Exactly, because ID cards have to have clear pictures.
So going back to Sahel's economic theory, is driven by people having wealth and oppression.
It's a combination of terrible things.
But then the thing is, like, so that's like one example of where maybe like it wasn't the best use. Like, things are getting better, but oh no, wait. But then, like, if you look at film, right, historically, film, as in like cinema, has also not been great for people of dark skin. It's not. I'm sorry. You're like waiting for porn, but I've really got very like wholesome stories to tell. Like, even so, you know, Steve McQueen, who's director of *Charlie's a Slave*. He, when he like gave his interview to the Washington Post, he said that when he was growing up, he was watching this this movie with actor like Sidney Poitier, who is sweating in this scene. Now, the scene is shot in the South, where it's very hot, but the reason this guy is sweating so much is because he's a black actor. They had to put so many more lights on him to artificially light him. And so the camera light, the lights are so hot that he's sweating from the heat of the lights.
Oh, that's crazy.
And that's like, those are the lengths they had to go to because film wasn't good enough to capture black skin on film well without artificially lighting them.
I mean, that even happens, I think, nowadays, because I've been in front of camera and people have lit me. They'll light me differently, so they might blow out the back a bit more. That sounds really bad in context. Blow out the back of the shot, not blow out my back. It'll set up the lights like just a bit differently to light my skin. Sometimes it can be like fucking sweaty.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I think some directors, like there's the director of Selma, Ava DuVernay, I think her name is. She gave an interview as well about this, and she was saying how she really hates seeing or like sometimes refuses to work on programs where they don't light black actors properly. So it's about getting that balance right, so you don't have to overlight the scene so much that everyone gets washed out and that people are uncomfortably hot, but it's about getting that lighting balance correct so that it's not... I think a lot of these people are saying is that sometimes film only lights the white actors and then like forgets to light properly light the people of color in the shot. And that's what they, especially she, tries to light her scenes well so that everyone's features come out really well.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So Sue, when you do a lot of like film work and a lot of photography, how do you best light sort of dark people?
I think it's very tricky business lighting people, and you know, it's very important, you know, like we're having this discussion, to making stuff look good, having the lighting right. To be honest, I only use normally natural lighting, and I do a lot of my like post-production, I do a lot of the color grading in that. So it's probably not the best way of doing it, but I find it works well for me. In terms of lighting people, I use like 3-point lighting. So I'm very good at like just finding light sources. So like if I was filming Onzi here, for example, in the studio, there's a light above him. Then I'll probably need one behind him and maybe one softer one coming up from below, just, but I'll try and keep his like jawline and stuff. And
so what does that do? Like that three, what is the purpose of
it's to 3. Make him 9? Pop out of his, of the scene. So you want to like light the, so you want him to be, the background to be dark. You want him to be like of a good color. And then you want like him to have well-defined features. So you normally bring the light from above at an angle. But to be honest, I think, you know, people, we worry, like talking to this issue of skin tone, for example, maybe because, you know, I've grew up on digital photography and digital filmmaking. It's never been a huge issue. In fact, like I said, I preferred like my subjects to be, have a darker skin tone. Like, you know, I prefer doing that type of photography. So it's quite interesting to hear this whole discussion about how it evolved to where it is now, to where it used to be.
Yeah, but it's also with the evolution of digital film and digital like cameras that this is all changing, because like previously they would shoot films on film as well, I guess, like on film.
But now we don't do that. We use like digital memory cards and that type of stuff.
Yeah, but it's like in the 90s, right? Yeah. Like it was, I think, Philips who designed the solution where they had two different chips to process dark skin and light skin in the same camera. Like that was the first time that a camera was able to do that without like having to compensate for either one.
Yeah.
And it was, but it was only being used in like TV shows that were heavily featuring black actors, or like shows like Oprah.
Different strokes.
You know, those are the only places they were using those cameras. But obviously now as digital.
Was that effective then, that solution? I'd imagine it's quite a wasteful solution to the problem, isn't it? It's like having two separate chips. Like they would have to like switch between the chip, or would it just do it automatically? Or
I'm not sure.
But yeah. But it just seems like it's so crazy hearing about that, and where we, like the stages it took to reach where we are now, where it's just, you know, it's, you can just point a camera and shoot at someone and you picks up the skin tones fairly well. You might have to do a bit of grading and stuff, but like to actually have to think about that in the design of it, it's quite interesting, isn't it?
Oz, you've talked a lot about things that aren't important. When are we getting to Black Panther?
Well, okay, so let's talk about Black Panther. The film, the lighting technician, the chief lighting technician, actually did say that what they did was they put extra care into lighting the scenes because they knew that it was so important to get the lighting right for the different scenes and different like action shots and stuff. So they were working like for the outside scenes, they were not just working with the sun, they were using different diffusers to control the amount of natural light and then using artificial light in different ways. So like, I don't really understand the tech behind this, so well, maybe you do. But they constantly had to recalibrate the light for every scene. They didn't just like have a standard light setting for this scene, and they were constantly moving it and moving it and moving it to make sure that all the actors would pop in every scene.
You know, Black Panther is a film that has what, two main cast members who are white, so that's what, like Martin Freeman and Andy Serkis. Everyone else is black. There's a range, there's like a range of skin tones. I think that's really cool that they had to make the lighting quite dynamic and switch it up.
And also they what they also wanted to do was not just make all the actors like look good on film, but they didn't want them to look artificially lit, because that was a problem that they recognized happens to a lot of black actors, is they always look artificially lit if they are putting loads of light on them.
Yeah. Well, a good solution to that is to not use any lights.
Stop trying to make things happen.
I don't know, like it depends, because I work in more like, you know, I get to the shoot and I have to film the thing and I have a lot of time to set up lights, so just freestyle, I just use the light that's there.
But when you're doing studio work in your studio where you can control things,
that's when you more have time to play with light, and in those situations, you know, to be fair, skin tone hasn't really been a huge issue for me, maybe because I am like, you know,
but
yeah.
But also, is that because also, like, the digital cameras you use now, they have so many different settings. Like, you can set the aperture, the like, you know, you can set the exposure, the ISO, the all these different...
What are those things? So what is aperture?
Aperture is how much light comes through. It's like how big the hole is, basically, in the lens, isn't it? And then it's in how much light goes in. Exposure is... again, how much light is falling onto the sensor, you know?
So isn't that the time, the amount of time you let light fall?
Yeah, so it's like the exposure, you can change the exposure by, like, for example, by changing the shutter speed, for example, or you can change the exposure by making the aperture wider, letting in more light.
So, like, if the shutter opens for longer, the exposure is, you expose it for longer.
Exposing it to more light.
Right.
And that's essentially what gives you image. What makes a good image is the amount of light. Now, a lot of modern cameras have excellent light, really large light cells. Mm. They're really, there's some really good cameras at low light photography and stuff. So, you know, that's why I can say you can do a lot of modern stuff without good lighting. But I do understand that in a studio setting, you know, you want to control all your variables. You want to get the best image you can. You know, this is where this fine tuning of the technology is really quite important, actually, when you think about it.
We have all this, like, technology is constantly evolving now. And like with digital cameras, we don't have to use film anymore. Like all of this light information falls on an array of sensors at the back of the camera, which is using this electrical information to make an image. Is that right? Am I right in saying that? So, but even with this technology evolving, like we do have cases of new technology, like, you know, that blogger who posted that her camera was racist and she had to post going, no, I'm just Asian. There are other examples as well. So there's like in 2010, there was a video that went around social media, I think, of these two people in an office, and there's this white woman who is like using this webcam which tracks her face. So when she moves, the webcam moves with her face, and then she gets her black colleague to come on to the shot, and the webcam just stops. It just doesn't move anymore. And he posts a video going, "This, these computers are racist."
No way.
Because again, they hadn't considered that like different skin tone would change the way that technology works. So even though technology is evolving, I think we need to keep including people from, you know, all different backgrounds, not to make sure it caters for all the end users.
Yeah, I think the one way of fixing that particular webcam would be if the engineers spent some time with the security guards of any shop in Bath, because those motherfuckers follow me around.
So basically, Alex, you are the solution.
They're just your fans, man. They love you.
No, they aren't. Really. Yeah. Like, so I was going to go buy some shoes. And walked into this boutique shop, and I picked up one of the shoes, and I'm like, oh wait, it's only oh wait, how much is this? Oh shit, it's only 20 quid. Oh wait, shit, 200 quid. I can't put down. Yeah, I'll have to put
I
down.
Bought.
But then the security guard came over and was like, oh, can I help? Everything okay over here? I was like, I have money.
It's like that scene from Pretty Woman. You should come back and be like, you made a big mistake, man.
At that point,
I like how Ozzy likes the joke. I only know that because I've watched that film with women and not on my own multiple times.
Hey, Grace.
Okay, no,
you're
no.
You're in a gay.
No, what I'm trying to say is, like, I don't know what I was going to say. I'm just saying I could have bought those £200 shoes, okay? Back to, so this woman's webcam just didn't work for black faces.
No, it just didn't recognize his face as a face, basically. that's how inconsiderate the technology behind it was.
Oh my God.
But so that, what I'm saying is there are examples of this happening, like even in like, you know, okay, this was in 2010. Mm. And obviously like as we start to learn about these things, the technology is going to improve. But, you know, I think we will still come across instances like this if we don't have the right sort of consumers in mind.
Look, yeah, brown people taking over the world is so good. Now, when people got bare gassed about Black Panther, like, yo, Black Panther, shit, man, this is sick. And apparently the movie's okay. Like, it's not amazing. But
what do you mean? You haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it. My mates went without me to the cinema. Yeah,
I am going to watch it tonight.
You haven't seen it.
I'm going to watch it tonight.
What the fuck is wrong with both of you?
I need parental supervision.
Other things to do.
Like what? Name me the things that you've had to do that are better than seeing Black Panther.
Eating.
Have you had sex?
Muffins.
Have you had a religious experience?
A religious experience.
Have you had a religious experience?
No.
Have you saved a life?
I've saved lives.
Have you made a connection with another human being, platonic or otherwise?
I've had lots of Tinder matches.
That's it.
They're connections.
Then you've done nothing better than seeing Black Panther.
My mate said it was a good film, but it wasn't super amazing.
Your mate's racist. They talk about how there's a lot of racism in minority communities and how Asians hate blacks. Mm. That's exactly what they're saying. I'm assuming your mate's Asian.
He's like, I'm not being funny, but Black Panther.
This is like Alex going mad at Suhail this time instead of me.
The fuck is wrong?
Last time
I ain't seen it. I'm just telling you what I heard. I'm just laying out the
You haven't
world.
Seen
no.
it, but you haven't seen it, so you're
He's
giving...
been making films of his own, Alex.
Sorry. Do they have Michael B. Jordan?
They do not.
Do they have Lupita Nyong'o in them?
They probably no.
Do they have Chadwick Boseman in them?
I don't know who any of those people are.
Because you're a...
I know who they are. So, like, Alex...
I didn't know who Katy Perry was, by the way, like, for context.
How is that context?
Yeah.
So we've gone from before the 60s to now a multi-million, I think it's like, is it almost a billion that's cleared? Almost a billion. It's going to get to a billion.
It's a lot of pesos.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, making film, Black Panther, mm-hmm. which has a cast of with massive amounts of diversity ethnically and sort of skin tones and stuff. So do you think the world of film has changed? And do you think that's been driven by economics or by the need for cameras just to be better because they want them to be better, like better technology?
I think it's a combination of the two, isn't it? I think there's no simple answer. I think it's maybe been a... I don't know enough about the detail of BME cinema and its history of it, but from my, you know, interpretation of it, it seems like, yeah, it's a good step in the good right direction.
Do you think that cameras that are better able to see dark skin that we have now, the camera's not dark skin, you've always had that, do you think that's why things like Bollywood and Nollywood, sort of the cinemas of West Africa and sort of India, are able to be bigger and better and bolder?
I think one of the things that spurs on those type of versions of Hollywood is that, again, partly technology facilitates it, but it's like, you know, more people in those countries are becoming middle class, more they have more money to go and watch.
You were about to say waste, weren't you? You were about to say waste. You're like, they can go way watch.
other word now. And then, yeah, so basically I think, you know, in those places, the reason why they're growing sophistication is because there's a bigger demand. There's people more able to pull that off in those countries. There's a better access to technology to make that happen. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, I think economics is quite... I'm not like a free market tier type of thing, but... you know, I think the market can sometimes facilitate that type of thing in certain occasions.
As like the directors I mentioned, in this podcast, they all take into consideration. It comes from a very personal place. Even the photographer I talked about, they're all people of color. They have experienced this. They can see the need for technology to be better, to pick up different skin tones. So I think it's going to be driven through that need as, like, you know, as cinema and as TV and all of this becomes more and more diverse and representative of our current society, that need will push technology in that direction as
absolutely
well.
I agree. I think you're right. And again, it's, you know, as people like ourselves come to positions where we are the people creating this content, that is also a big part of it, because, you know, people made Black Panther with BME themselves. And you know, that's where those people, type of people, push for that and make it make the industry more have more quality, I guess. Is that right?
Yeah.
So, guys, you've come to the end of the podcast. How are you feeling?
Good. I've had this awakening.
I've had three cupcakes.
As always, I've been joined by Oz and Sahel. I've been your host, Alex Lathbridge. This has been Why Aren't You a Doctor Yet? Bye.
Peace out.
See you later.
And so if you've liked that and you've thought, wow, this is a really great podcast, or conversely, you've thought, huh, these guys know nothing about science, technology, or indeed comedic timing, you should tell us. Leave us a review on iTunes. I know you hear it everywhere, but we really like internet validation. You can also follow us on social media at Why Not a Doc on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, really anywhere. Just type that in on Google and you'll find us. And I think that's about it. Thanks.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.